So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to read two passages together. And so the first one is in Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, Galatians. And it's just one verse. It's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul's writing, and he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And then if you'll turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. And so beginning in verse 5, the writer says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me?'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the way that you work powerfully through it to change us, to transform us, to make us into the people that you desire for us to be. And so we pray in these moments together that your Spirit would be our teacher, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, and that you would work in us a transformation so that more and more the life of Jesus is visible in who we are and in what we do as he lives his life out through us. And so we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as you can imagine, I've been thinking a lot about what the message would be this morning. And there are lots of things that I could have preached about this morning. You know, when preachers are looking for sermon topics, sermon themes, they tend to hopefully go to the scripture. The only example that I could find in the scripture of a sermon like this is in Acts chapter 20. And Paul is with this particular congregation, and he knows that it'll be his last opportunity to preach to them. And so he preaches past midnight. And actually, there's a guy who is sitting in a window who is so helped by what Paul is saying that he falls asleep and falls from the window and lands on the ground and is dead. The good news is that Paul is able to resuscitate him and gives him back to the folks, and the scripture says that they were very comforted by that. The good news this morning is that's not what we're doing. So there will be no fatalities this morning. We won't be here past midnight, but just as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, well, you know, I could preach and I could tell them, you know, things like, okay, if you make a great commitment to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, then that'll grow a great church. You know, I could do things like that. That's true. And what I decided to do is to share with you a couple of passages that have been very significant for me. Because at the end of the day, I am not defined primarily because I'm a pastor. The most important thing about me is that I'm a follower of Jesus. And so these are passages, these are texts that long before I had any sense of God calling me to be a pastor, these were texts that helped me understand God's call on my life and God's call on all of our lives to be followers of Jesus. And I want to encourage you, as we look at these passages together, to think how they connect with your life, how they intersect with the trajectory of your commitment to be a follower of Jesus. And what I want to do is I want to challenge you to do something, but before I do that, I want to tell you why it's a good idea to do that. And so the first passage that we're going to look at is the one in Hebrews chapter 13. We're not going to be talking this morning about keeping your life free from the love of money, although that's a good thing, or being content with what you have. We're going to look at that last part of verse 5 and that first part of all of verse 6 there together. This is one of those verses that I didn't need to read off of the page or off of the monitor, because this is a word that in all kinds of circumstances I have whispered to myself. The Spirit of God has reminded me of this passage at some of the most difficult times in my life. And so we hear that voice of God. We hear that voice of the Holy Spirit saying, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we can trust God because we know that God doesn't ever abandon us, that God doesn't ever give up on us. Some of us have that life experience of being forsaken, of being abandoned. We've had people who have been in relationship with us. It could be parents, it could be friends, it could be family members, and they just said, you know, I'm done. I'm going to leave. And so we know what that's like, and we know the pain that that causes, and we know the absence that that creates in our lives. But here we hear God's voice, and God says to us, no matter who else might abandon you, no matter who else might desert you, God is not ever going to. And so because of that, we can depend on God, we can rely on God, we can trust in God's love for us, we can trust in God's abiding presence with us. And the writer goes on, and in both of these passages, the writer's quoting the Old Testament. We don't think often of Deuteronomy as devotional material, but there it is. That first quotation, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, is from the book of Deuteronomy. And then the second is from the Psalms. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me? And so God comes to us and says, I want you to be able to live free of fear. I want you to be able to live in a way where you trust in me and you rely on me and you depend on me. And so I need you to know that whatever comes to you, I'm going to be your helper. I'm going to be the one that you can depend on. I'm going to be the one on whom you can rely. I'm going to be the one that you can trust. And that's always going to be true. And so that becomes for us a bedrock foundation for living. That becomes for us something that is always true, that's true regardless of our circumstances in life, and it's true regardless of our emotions in life. A lot of times we live based on how we feel. We can't really help that. We're wired up that way. God has given us the gift of emotions, but whether it feels true to you or not, whether you feel like this is real or not, it is. And you can depend on that, and you can trust on that. And as a matter of fact, it's precisely at those moments when we don't feel the nearness of God, when we don't feel a sense of God's love, when we are kind of asking that question that Jesus asked, why am I forsaken? That we can rely even more on God. And so we're learning to live not based on how we feel, but we're learning to live based on the reality of who God is that we learn about in the Scriptures. And so we can depend on God's love for us. We can depend on God's faithfulness to us. We can trust in God's care for us. And so that's why we can look at that text in Galatians. So if you'll turn there. There was a pretty long season of my life where I grew up in church. I went to church all the time. My family sort of had a family practice of if the church doors were open, we were going to be there. Sometimes we were the ones opening the church doors. But there was a period of time After I was baptized, after I made a public confession of faith in Christ, there was a long time when pretty much what I understood following Jesus to mean is that I went to church, that I was a Christian, that I participated in the programs and the activities of the church. You know, I went to Sunday school, I went to youth group, whatever there was. You know, it was about attendance for me. And then when I was in junior high, I had some teachers who challenged us in Sunday school to, in the course of a year, read through the Bible. And that was a powerfully transformative experience for me, because spending time every day reading the Bible, that gave God an opportunity to speak to me in an incredible, profound, deep kind of way, and to shape my sense of who I was, but most importantly, to give me a brand new understanding of who Jesus is and what it means to be a follower of His, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, somebody who's learning how to live from Jesus. And so one of the verses that I encountered that year and that has come to mean so much to me, that's come to be such a deep part of who I am and how I live, is verse 20. And Paul is in the midst of one of these arguments that he likes to construct, and he's talking about the law and the gospel, and he's talking about how God loves people, whether they're Gentiles or Jews, or you know, no matter how they find themselves to be. But in the midst of that argument, that we don't need to be good people, that that's not how we connect with God, that we don't need to observe the Old Testament law to be reconciled to God. In the midst of all that, he sort of drops in this sentence, and he says, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." And that, for me, is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That is what being a disciple of Jesus is all about. It means that our lives don't belong to us anymore. That we say, "Okay, God, I'm giving you my life, and I want you to crucify me." We participate in the crucifixion of Jesus. We die to ourselves. Jesus says it this way in the Gospel of Luke. He says, "If anyone wants to be my follower, they need to deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." And so Paul's kind of expanding on that thought here in this passage. And he says, "I've been crucified with Christ." And then he says, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." And that's the great invitation that Jesus gives to each of us, is he says, "I want to live out my life through you. I want to be the one who is living through you in the world." And then Paul goes on to say, "The life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." So the thing that emboldens Paul to be able to do this life exchange, to be able to say, "Jesus, I want you to live your life through me," is that he's confident that Jesus loves him. Jesus, for Paul, isn't the one who has, isn't only the one who has taken away his sins, isn't only the one who set him free from the burden of observing the law, isn't the only one who's rescued him, isn't only the one who's rescued him from a life of religiousness. When he describes Jesus, what does he say? He says, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And you need, at the very deepest place in who you are, to know yourself to be one who's loved by Jesus. "And you are the one," Jesus says, "I gave myself for you. I love you." And so because of that, Paul says, "I have confidence, I have joy, I have strength, I have energy, I have ability, so that it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me." and the life I live in the body, the everyday life that I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, faith is a word that we use to have a lot of different meanings. People will say, well, I have faith in the legal system, or I have faith in that the economy is recovering, or I have faith in this public official or that public official or something like that. You know, this is faith. And I think I've showed you this before, but think about this with me, okay? I can tell you about this chair. I can say this chair has a really sturdy metal frame. This chair has been well constructed. This chair has high quality ingredients in it. If I sit in the chair, it's going to be comfortable. It's got a nice padded seat and a nice padded back. And I am just absolutely confident that if I were to sit in this chair, that it would hold me up. I have complete faith in this chair. That's not faith. That's belief. Okay, I can say all those things about the chair, but until I do this, until I sit down in the chair and I let my weight rest on it, and say I even pick my feet up, now I have faith in the chair. Because I'm trusting absolutely in this chair to hold me up. There's nothing else that is keeping me from, falling on the ground, except this chair. I have complete faith in this chair. And so what Paul is saying is that the way that he is living is he has faith in Jesus. He is trusting absolutely from moment to moment in Jesus, the Son of God, he says, who loved me and who gave himself for me. I depend on him. I rely on him. I am his. I belong to him. My life is his. He's living his life out through me. So, I want to challenge you to do something. Okay? There is a place in your life. It might be something going on at work. It might be in your family. It might be if you're married in your marriage. It might be at school. And I know that there are things that God is calling you as a congregation, you as Whitmer Heights Mennonite Church, to in this way. But there's something that God is working at in your life. And what God is saying to you in that circumstance is, it's time to pick your feet up. It's time to move from belief to faith. It's time to trust Jesus in a way that you never have before. And so I want to challenge you this morning. Pick your feet up. Amen.